He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who would open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in. So, we're talking about grace, and I want to talk about today grace perfection. I preached a message years ago on perfectionism, and I used an analogy, and boy, I had so many people say to me, I never even thought about that. But what I said in the analogy was that the word perfect has become a buzzword in our society today. I don't know if you've noticed this. But someone will say, you know, can you do lunch next week? And you say, well, I could do an early lunch on Wednesday, but that's the only day I could. And what do they say? Perfect. And what I'm thinking is, it's actually not perfect for me. It's just okay, okay? I'm doing my best to get it worked into the schedule, but I wouldn't say perfect. As a matter of fact, I think your expectations are too high for this luncheon, okay? I have a friend of mine that when you talk to him, the whole time I'm talking, like I'm going to say, okay, so I'm going to plan on being there around 6. He'll say, perfect. And I'll say, but I can only say now we're perfect, you know, and then I feel like that we need to cover this and then we can talk later about this, you know, perfect. Perfect, 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 perfect. And I had so many people come up to me afterwards and they would say, you know, I found myself saying it and I never even thought about it, saying the word perfect, you know? And it really isn't perfect. I don't care what it is. It's just not perfect. Here's what I want to talk about with perfection or perfect, all right? Is it even possible to become perfect in God's sight? And yes, it is. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. But my question now is, since it is possible, and I'll show it to you, would you rather become perfect in God's sight by works or by grace? Yeah, because you've already not become perfect by works. Okay, so I have 3 points. Here's point number one. I'm not perfect. I know that comes as a surprise. But I actually use first person because when someone asks you, if they weren't here, when they say, what was the message and what were his 3 points, because I normally have 3, and when you tell them, I want you to say the first point was, I'm not perfect. Do you realize that if you were to say that to your spouse would say, oh, I know. And if you would like, I have a list of examples that you're not perfect. So, we're not perfect. And every message I have on every point, you may not know this, but I use explanation, application, illustration. I give you a scripture to support the point. If I don't give you a scripture to support the point, you might as well just throw the point out. It's not a point. Because only the Bible can support truth. And he is truth. So I'll give you a scripture and then I'll explain it and then I'll apply it to our lives and then I normally tell an illustration, okay? So I thought I don't need a lot of scriptures to explain that we're not perfect. I think we already know that. But I got one scripture, okay? Very famous, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you're included. I'm included. All have, and then sinned. All have sinned. Okay, here's what I want you to understand about the word sin. I've told you that all Greek words, not all, pardon me, over 50% of the Greek words in the New Testament, and by the way, the New Testament was not written in common Greek, it was written in Koine Greek, which was common Greek of the time. And Koine means common, but it was common of the time, not common of today. Language has changed, okay? So, but about half the Greek words come from either a military background or a sporting background. This one comes from a sporting background, okay? It's the Greek word hamartano. And what it means is it comes from archery. And it means to miss the bullseye. Now, if you look it up in a Greek lexicon, it'll say miss the mark. That's what they'll that miss the mark. But where it actually came from was in archery when an arrow just barely missed the bullseye. So what this is saying is this isn't talking about when it says all have sinned, it's not talking about debauchery. It's talking about all have barely missed the bullseye at some time in your life. I remember witnessing to a guy one time, and he said, I was using the Roman road, Romans 3:23, 6:23, and Romans 10:9 and 13. And when I got to this one, he said, I haven't sinned. And he didn't mean it wrong. What he was doing was kind of like the rich young ruler. He was saying, I don't lie, I don't steal, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't murdered anyone. He was using those sins, the top 10 list, you know, the 10 commandments. And I said to him, well, that's not what the word sin means. What it means is that every time, every second, every moment of every day, you haven't exactly hit the bullseye. You haven't been perfect. That's what it means. You've not been perfect. So I want you to understand all have sinned, all have not hit the bullseye. The word perfect in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the definition is being entirely without fault or defect. Being entirely without fault or defect. So none of us are perfect is what this means. Now, I want to confess something to you, okay? I am a recovering perfectionist. It's kind of like alcoholism. You never get completely. I mean, obviously you can be delivered. I'm saved and delivered. I understand that. But as far as perfectionism, you're either a recovering perfectionist or you're in denial. One or the other. That, you know, the river in Egypt. Denial. Okay. All right. So, So the point is, let me tell you how to tell if a person's a perfectionist, okay? Please do not punch someone. Some of you, your arm might do it with like a response without even you knowing it's doing it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. 7 times. Okay. Here's how to tell. You're going to love this. A perfectionist will tell you he's not a perfectionist. Thank you, Pastor. If a person's not a perfectionist, he doesn't tell you I'm not a perfectionist. You know, we were at our ranch, our place out in the country, and Josh brought his dogs. He said, Dad, I can't find the kennel. Can I bring them? I'll put them in a cage. You know, I said, absolutely sure. And so all of a sudden, these two dogs come running down the stairs. Josh is about to go upstairs to take them outside. They just come running down. And then Mitchell, James's son, comes down next, and he says to Josh, I did not loosen the door on the dogs' cages. When you don't do something, you normally tell people that you didn't do it. When you're not a perfectionist, you normally tell people. So I'm a recovering perfectionist. Years ago, when the church was small, before we had video, praise the Lord, is before it's out there on YouTube forever. We had like five services. And after one of the services, I was greeting people in the lobby, and one of our deacons walked up, sweet man, great man, and he took my collar and flipped it under like this. And he said, your collar was flipped up for the whole message. So I said, the whole message. And he said, yeah, okay. So in my green room, in my travel bag, in my closet at home, in my computer bag, I now have brass collar stays because it was flipped up one time 23 years ago. But I am not a perfectionist. Okay, so I am not perfect, and neither are you. Here's number two. He is perfect. He is perfect. Now, I'm going to show you a scripture. If you don't understand grace, you will never understand the scripture. Never. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the last verse of Matthew 5. Matthew 5, oh, wait, that's another one. I'll get to that one in a minute. He is perfect. Psalm 18, that's close to Matthew 5. It's in the same book. I'm not perfect. I did that as another illustration, so, but I knew I was doing it. So, all right, anyway. Psalm 18, I said, he is perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. Psalm 19, 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Hebrews 4, 15, now we're talking about Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Watch this. Yet, let me just change it for a moment. Yet, he was perfect. Without sin. He never missed the mark. He hit the bullseye every time. John 18, 30, Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. Here's what some of you don't know. Pilate said it three times. That was John 18, 30, John 19, 4. Pilate then went out again and said to them, I find no fault in him. John 19, 6, Pilate said to them, I find no fault in him. The world examined him and found no fault in him. I told you I'm a recovering perfectionist. I have a lot of hangups. I have a lot of hangups. When James was in college, he went to Baylor. He needed more time on tests, so we had to have him tested. And so we went to get the results of it, and it was in downtown Fort Worth. It was like the sixth floor. And right out the window was the Trinity River. I think that might be the west bank of the Trinity River, you know. But, I mean, literally right out the window. So then this woman who gave him the test, beautiful woman, sweet woman, kind woman, you know, when I say beautiful, I mean her character. She's just, you know, a nice woman. And she was talking to Debbie and me and James and very complimentary. I believe she was a believer because of the way she spoke. But anyway, she's looking right at me. She's asking me a question about family history. And she said, is there any ADD in your family? And I said, this literally happened. I said, look, that guy just caught a fish. And she said, I'm going to take that as a yes. Okay, so I'm not perfect, he's perfect, but here's point number three. I have been made perfect. Now, not in my behavior, as you can tell by the illustrations and by the other illustration I just threw in a while ago when I quoted the wrong reference, but not in my behavior, but in my belief. Not in my performance, but in my position. Now, Matthew 5 is a scripture that you won't understand unless you understand grace. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. I think you might have heard that a while ago. All right, but let me show you. It's the last verse of chapter 5. Matthew 5 says, it's the Sermon on the Mount. It says, therefore you shall be perfect. And then he throws in, just or in the same way as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay, if you don't understand grace, there's no way to live up to that. Especially when he throws his Father in there. But I underline the word perfect, but I'm going to read you the same verse again, but I underline two other words. Okay, and these are the key, all right? Perfect here is the adjective describing you and the Father, but now I want to show you the verb. Watch this. Therefore, you shall be. Future tense. Shall be. Are made perfect. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Here's what he's saying. There's no way you could ever be perfect on your own. But because of what I'm going to do on the cross, you shall be perfect. Just as the Father is perfect. And this word perfect in the Greek is teleos. It means complete or completed. It means finished. Now, when you think about the word finished, remember Jesus on the cross, he said seven things. I've actually thought about preaching a series on this called The Seven Last Words of Christ and tell you what each one of them mean spiritually and theologically throughout the Bible. But the last thing he said, John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave his spirit. Okay, finished is the same Greek word. It means it is complete. And here's the other word it means. It is perfect. The work that I did for you on the cross is perfect. Therefore, you can now be perfect in your Father's eyes. Because the work I did was perfect. So I said, I have been made perfect. Now I'm going to give you some scripture. And I'll go through them quickly, but watch these scriptures. Colossians 2:10, and you are perfect. Same Greek word, teleos. You are complete. You are finished in him. This is talking about your spiritual position in Christ. This next verse, if you don't understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15 says the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, you need to remember that that's 3 days, okay? He died on one day. He was buried on that day, but he was in the tomb. Burial is what that represents, the second day, and he rose on the third day. Death, burial, resurrection of Christ, okay? Now, I want you to watch. They said, Herod is looking for you. And this was his answer. And he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Now, he didn't mean he was just going to be on the earth 3 more days, because this was a year or so before. He said, basically, he was already referring to the death, burial, and resurrection. On the third day, I shall be perfected. Now, it's important to understand that he was perfected because I'm telling you, I've been made perfect. I've been perfected because he was perfected. So it's important. So just hang on to that, right? Hebrews 5:9, and having been perfected, that's talking about Jesus, he are complete. He became the author of eternal salvation. Just one question. How long is eternal? Okay, that's right. Forever. To all who obey him. Now, I just need to let you know something. This obey is not referring back to works. Now, yes, we should obey. Yes, we should obey. Yes, we should do good works. Yes, we should try to live righteously. But not when it comes to our eternal salvation. That is not what saves us. Because this word obey in the Greek, please hear me, means to open the door. Listen, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who would open the door to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I'll come in. That's what this word obey means. To those who'll open the door. John 17 is his prayer before he went to the cross to the Father. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect, completed, finished. Their salvation finished by the perfect finished work of the cross. Hebrews 12:23, this is talking about the church, to the general assembly, that's the church, and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, that's the church, to God, the judge of all, watch, to the spirits of just men made perfect. We've been made perfect by grace. The scripture I gave you last week in Galatians 3, where he said, you know, oh, foolish Texans. Remember, he said, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Here's a verse last week. Let me bring it into this context. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? We're made perfect by grace. Hebrews 10:1. For the law, now remember the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things. That's Jesus. He's the very image of the Father, it says. Watch, the law can never, with these same sacrifices with which they offer continually year by year, watch what the law can never do. Make those who approach perfect. The law can't make you perfect in the sight of God, but grace can. Hebrews 7:28, for the law appoints as high priest men who have weakness, who aren't perfect. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So the Son's been perfected forever because of the work that he's done. But watch what the one who has been perfected forever does. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he, Jesus, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It's a perfect verse because it says, by grace you have been perfected forever, although you're still not perfect in your performance. Although God's still working on you in some areas, you're being sanctified, but you've been perfected forever. Is everyone catching this? It's completely, totally by grace that you got saved. And you knew that when you got saved. And let me just ask you this question, and I'll give you one closing illustration. Is it enough? Is it enough for you that the perfect one perfected you by grace? Is that enough? It is enough. The death, burial, and resurrection is enough to put you in right standing with God and to make you perfect in the sight of God. Do you realize you could not have a relationship with the perfect one had he not perfected you? Just one sin would have kept you out of relationship with God. Just one. I was talking to a friend of mine about some of my weaknesses. And this was just probably 5 or 6 years ago. And I just said, it just shocks me that I still blow it. I still, you know, will say something to Debbie that I don't mean. I just don't mean. And I can see the hurt on her face when I say it. And I'm frustrated about something else, but it comes out toward her or whatever. I was sharing with him about all these weaknesses I still see in my life. And he said to me, you know, Robert, you are the best that I've ever heard. at preaching on grace. But you're lousy at giving grace to yourself. I put my head down and started crying. And I said, you're right. So I'd like to ask you something. How good are you at giving grace to yourself? Because God's really good at giving you grace. And you might even be really good at giving other people grace. But you might be lousy at giving yourself grace. Jesus died on the cross for all of our missing the mark. And I'm so grateful that by his grace, not in my performance, but in my position, I have been made perfect before God. Hey, I'm so grateful also that you watch, that you listen, that you tune in, that you love the Lord, and that you love his word. I'm going to continue this series next time. I'll see you then.
In life, we often look for fulfillment in our performance and do everything we can to earn God's favor. In this new series, Grace, Period, Pastor Robert explains that we don't need to live this way. What we truly want has already been given to us.
We don't do good works and that gets us saved. We get saved and then we want to do good works.
As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount today, we'd like to send you this entire teaching series on CD or as an audio digital download. We'll also include Gateway Worship's newest album, Crowns Down. Or for your gift of $85 or more, you can also request Pastor Robert's brand new book, Grace, Period. In his book, Pastor Robert unpacks the full meaning and significance of God's grace, guiding you toward enjoying the abundant life that God has promised us through Jesus. Additionally, for your gift of $135 or more, you'll receive the newly released Grace Period Study Guide, designed to lead you on a profound journey into the life and teachings of Jesus. Pastor Robert reveals the beauty and perfection of God's amazing grace. You'll also receive a beautiful Every Moment journal along with a matching bookmark. We'll also send you a large print Fresh Start Bible, where Pastors Robert Morris, Jack Hayford, and other key leaders answer common questions and provide the tools for building a strong spiritual foundation. Visit us at PastorRobert.com to get these special resources today. As always, thank you for your continuous prayers and generous financial support of Pastor Robert Morris Ministries.
We've made it even easier for you to connect with us here at the all-new PastorRobert.com. You can watch or listen to current and previous episodes of our program. Shop in our online store with enhanced security. And access a free weekly devotional. We hope that these features will help you find exactly what you need to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. To learn more, visit us at PastorRobert.com.